This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Mind's Eye.
Love You Always by Amanda Stockstill. The diary continues. December 3. Dear Leah, so far, U.S. and U.K. leaders met for a conference yesterday to discuss an invasion of Normandy, France, in May. So relieved Jane's been punished. Have you spoken to Italia? Meanwhile, it's the usual bustle around Christmas, with preparations and paper decorations. The packages are arriving, and dinner is being bought. Mrs. Porter and Miss Lee have gone to the shops for months, purchasing meat, sugar, and dried fruit, like every year. William says that with all this bombing in Berlin and elsewhere last month, he fears our parents or anyone else we know aren't even alive. I cried when he told me, but that night I thought about it. We haven't heard from Mama and Papa, and Jews are disappearing more rapidly. Other news here is Hannah's sister getting married. Hannah's going to be a bridesmaid. Their seamstress is making her dress. Her mum promised she'll phone when it's ready. Lydia finally told us about her troubling summer. Her sister Edith lost her baby. It happened in July. Edith woke up screaming, and Lydia woke their parents, who tried to phone their doctor. He was away, so their mum helped. Lydia and their sister waited downstairs, so they only found out what happened afterward. The doctor finally came in the early morning. Lydia doesn't know what happened. Only her little sister said, there was blood on her sheets and nightdress. She saw them in the washing basket. Through the rest of July, Edith sobbed every night. She barely ate. Their mum said, there will always be others. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. To make matters worse, her American beau didn't visit or phone her. Their parents agreed it was for the best. Whenever friends or her sisters tried speaking to her, Edith threw pillows, screaming for everyone to go away, leave me alone. It's the week before Christmas. Yesterday, William told me there's no news from our parents. He's written to his friends in Berlin, but hasn't heard anything. I miserably returned to our dormitory. I couldn't even go in. Mother stopped me in the hall. Esther, come here. I'd only been in her room once. That's where she took me. I stood there, dreading the questions I thought were coming. You missed your evening chores. Lydia said you'd be along, but you never came. I know, Mother. I was in the sewing room, finishing Leah's present. I see. You can clean the dormitory windows for the next 2 weeks. My least favorite chore, Could I do something with William or John? I begged. Please? Absolutely not. You'll stay in the dormitory where I can see you. Now go. Christmas night. Everything was ordinary today. The king's message was about the brotherhood of many nations fighting against our common enemy. He once again spoke of our brave men and women and allies fighting abroad. He went on to say, we all need to hope for victory. My punishment is almost over, but Hannah's enjoyed gloating ever since it began. You're being punished, she taunts. Mother keeps stopping her, so she only does it when we're alone. Even Susan said something like, finally, the charity girl's no longer their favorite. Somehow, everybody seems to know about everything. Well, almost everything. As always, Esther. Thursday, January 6. Dear Esther, you had a wonderful Christmas. Mine was, as it's always been, dull and practical. We all got the same thing, oranges, more writing paper, and dress material. What I wouldn't give for some chocolate and babka. Enid and Dora stayed for Christmas. They received presents from home and from Mom and Dad. They continued to meet with Dad and Mom's approval. They adore sewing, which means less for us to do. I always wonder how Italia spends her Christmases. She never says. And no, we haven't spoken. Italy is being attacked by the Allies. It's the 11th, and an abbey is under threat in Monte Cassino. The Allies believe it's being used as a German base. Now, the 18th, it appears the U.S. and the British are fighting. Berlin continues to be bombed by the RAF. I guess the British are getting revenge for the bombings Hitler ordered to be done to them. You had a horrible time after your talk with William. Perhaps Mother Anderson's getting suspicious. Too bad she wouldn't let you do your punishment with him. At the same time, you were almost discovered. At least Hannah has some cheerful news. I'm sure you'll hear all about the wedding afterward. Sorry about Mr. Blake. How horrible for all their families. When will she return? February 11th, and it's not looking good for the Allies at Monte Cassino. The Indian and U.S. armies have suffered losses. Jane fell this morning. She was in the hen house and slipped on ice. Her foot's being propped up on the sofa, and Mom and Dad are fussing over her. Sarah and I have been told to be quiet and help her. She was served lunch and dinner on a tray. Now, Leah, you have extra chores until she's better, Dad told me over lunch. What extra chores, I thought. Later the same night, I was helping Enid and Dora spread straw in the cows' stalls. Dora said, "We'll help. We all do much of the same work anyway." After dinner, Sarah and I had to read to Jane. "Because I'm bored." We were in the middle of The Strange Adventures of Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde when Mum interrupted. She begged us to read Shakespeare. So we started Act One of A Midsummer Night's Dream. Jane was laughing as we struggled with the difficult English. Mum commented, "It's like the Bible. You should be used to that." Pointing at me, she left us. We plodded on. "Stop," Dad said, coming in, warming his hands by the fire. I glanced at the clock. We'd been reading for an hour and a half. "Mum's made hot chocolate." We raced to the kitchen. Enid and Dora were already at the table. My heart sank when I saw six cups. "Sit, Sarah. Leah, this one's for Jane. Then to bed with you." When I asked Dad if he wanted any, he shook his head. Then I hopefully asked Mum if I could have his, and she said no. "I thought I told you to go to bed," she yelled. "She can have mine," Enid offered. "No, but thanks anyway." Scowling, she motioned toward the stairs. Dragging my feet, I reluctantly climbed to my cold attic. I buried my head in the pillow and cried. It's now the end of February, and the Germans are still at Monte Cassino. The abbey was destroyed on the 15th by the British, and a nearby town was taken by the Indian Army. The Allies are apparently running out of supplies, so they wait. It's the 17th, and at dinner, Sarah asked how long Jane would have to sit with her foot propped up like that. "Until it's healed." Mum's sharp words and the glare made everyone keep silent. How terrible for Lydia's family. What do I say? I can't imagine going through that. You're right. It's very unfair about Eva. When we asked why he taunts her, Andrew just growled, "Because she's there." Not a good explanation, is it? The other day at recess, he shoved Daniel, who fell face first in the snow. Helen and Laron pulled Daniel up. His parents collected him after school, and they glared furiously at Andrew. "Not me, honest," Andrew said. "We saw you," several kids called out. Miss promised she'd speak to his parents. Helen and I exchanged skeptical looks. They won't do anything. Finally, March is here, with the Germans still not surrendering. On the 15th, the Indian Army gained control. It's the 21st, and after days of intense fighting, Monte Cassino is taken by the British. On Saturday, Italia, Daniel, Eva, Laurent, and I got together. Italia says she wants to leave the Evanses as soon as she can. Daniel hopes to stay with his family for a little while after the war, at least until he's older. He really wants to find his German family, too. He's starting to forget them. Laurent and I want to stay in England, but first, we all need to finish school. Eva says if she can't contact her parents, she wants to live with her English family. She'll miss Carmela if she leaves. Berlin is still being bombed, but this time by the Americans. If all goes well, Hitler will surrender. Ha ha. We'll be together by Christmas. Truly, though, I pray this war ends quickly. Everyone's exhausted and fed up with family separations and everything else in between. Who will you stay with this summer? It's good you're not alone at school when everyone leaves. I wish I could meet everyone. Love you always. Leah. April 15th. Dear Leah, this summer I'm staying with Kathleen. She says her family has acquired, somehow gotten, extra food. It's the middle of April, and an American named General Eisenhower is commander of the Allied Expeditionary Forces. He has control of all parts of the military in England. In Monte Cassino, there haven't been any further attacks yet. I cried when I read about that horrible night. Can't you leave? Perhaps it's too late. Jane's foot seems to be healing slowly. She's enjoying all the attention. Thanks for your concern about Mr. Blake. Mrs. Blake returned in March. She was very quiet and would sometimes snap at us more than usual. One evening in our dormitory, we were discussing our future plans after we finish here. Everyone knows mine. To find your sister, we know. Hannah sniffed. Kathleen wants to be a teacher. Mrs. Davis told us about a place for blind teenagers and adults. Subjects like dictation, telephone operating, and how to live independently in a home are taught. Hannah believes she'll be married, like her sister. As you know, her sister's wedding is approaching. The cake sounds amazing, with many layers and flowered icing. Her mom said they had to save their sugar ration for months to buy it. Mary wants to work in a dress shop if anyone would hire her. Contented, Esther. May 22nd. Dear Esther, glad Mrs. Blake has returned. Be patient with her. She's been through a lot. We've heard about that Monte Cassino battle as well. On the 11th, we heard that the Germans came back stronger than before. For the fourth time, they were still fighting. Our first week back to school, Jane walked with a limp. However, Miss wasn't fooled. "Your leg is fine, Missy. Now sit down." "You're right. She's enjoying the attention." Back to this terrible war. A few days ago, the Allies were finally evacuated. Progress. I agree. We've been many years in England, too. I have no idea where we'll live when the war ends. If our parents are alive, obviously we'd return home, or wherever they're living. Yesterday was a sad day for the Americans. The 28th, and 750 soldiers were killed after their ships were attacked by German torpedo boats. Can't wait for your news. Love, Leah. P.S. Agagite, son of Hamadatha, plotted to cut down the lofty fire. Agagite, Jewish enemy. June 10th. Dear Leah, everyone's enthusiastic about summer. I'll be with Kathleen. We're learning lessons as usual. I still have to take a breath sometimes. I can't believe I've been here 6 years. Some of us are like teachers to the younger girls, helping them with lessons. Geography is still difficult. We're now studying the map of America. There are many states that are similarly shaped. That's the same with all our maps. Anyway, it's wonderful teaching them English songs we learned here and the German songs you and I sang. They mispronounce words. It's just for fun anyway. Hannah refuses to learn German songs. She's become an excellent pianist. She reads Braille music with ease. I'm not just complimenting her. Sewing is still my favorite, even though we're still making those blankets. In case you somehow missed it, June the 6th was D-Day. British, Canadian, and American troops landed on 5 beaches in Normandy, France. Americans landed on Utah and Omaha. And the English and Canadians landed on Gold, Sword, and Juno. Amy's father described in a letter how 5,000 ships left the day before carrying supplies and troops across the channel. He said he went to the cliff along the beach and saw the ship sailing past. School's over now. Exams were the same. Practical, like baking bread and using the machine independently. Who knew you could make a test out of that? Miss Price had us read the states in the order they appeared on the map. That was difficult. Braille was the usual English with math problems. Typing was still challenging. As Mrs. Davis said words rapidly, we attempted to type them. I wish Normandy was going as well. Germany beat the Canadians, and 700 American ships were sunk during a storm. Can their situation get any worse? Love you always, Esther. July the 5th. Dear Esther, the Battle of Normandy continues with a French city being liberated. Germany stopped the Allies from reaching cities in the south. Our yearly cinema film was about people in Africa trying to escape the fighting. There's a woman who falls in love with an officer, and he convinces her to go with the first man she met, not him. Mom and Dad went with us. They thought the ending was romantic. Jane pretended to limp all day. People ask her if she was okay. Still pretending. Saw Nora in town. She shared this story of her sister. My sister was sent to Normandy, Nora announced. It was top secret. They didn't know until they landed. The hospital was set up with the usual conditions. The soldiers came in right away, some needing amputation to prevent gangrene. The limb was removed. Morphia was given for pain relief. Each soldier had a label around his neck, so the nurses knew which treatment he needed. Others had shell shock. Whenever they heard guns, they tried scratching through canvas floors to hide underground. Sheets are used for surgery only. Everyone still has scratchy army blankets. Not seeing much of the Evans family, just our usual meetings. Strange way to end a letter. More next time. Love, Leah. August 20. Dear Leah, Kathleen's house was terrific. Remember Mama's flower garden? Kathleen's mom has the same flowers. It was like being home. They don't have a farm, just a vegetable garden. Like at school, vegetables were our main meal. Except once, her mother somehow made a chicken pie for Kathleen's brother's birthday. All we know is the meat was tender, and there was plenty for other meals. She also seemed to have a lot of dried fruit and chocolate, so we had great desserts. When Kathleen asked, "Where did you purchase everything?" her mom replied, "Shopkeepers like our turnips." I guess she traded or was given them. Their neighbors have a swing in their back garden, and all of us kids play on it. The one real annoying thing was that some of the farmers' kids didn't know Kathleen and I could read. When a girl came inside to give her mother something, she was fascinated by our Braille books. She didn't get to see us read because, thankfully, her brother told the girl firmly to leave. I guess he thought we would be showing off. I agree with him. The only difference is we read with our fingers. While Normandy was happening, Kathleen's father taught us an easy way to remember the beaches. Gus and Joe. Not exactly the way beaches were invaded, but still a clever trick. August the 30th. Finally, Normandy is free. Kathleen's mom thinks the war won't last much longer. Your contented sister, Esther. September 9. Dear Esther, well, the leaves are changing colors and vegetables are being stored. School has started, and so far, Charlotte hasn't played any more practical jokes. I guess her parents got through to her. Miss hasn't searched her, so no cold corner either. Andrew is becoming more vicious. He tormented Laron and me yesterday. We were passing our homework to the front of the class when notes were passed to us. Your parents don't want you, the note said. Same taunts that you get. At lunch, Laron showed me the note he received. It was a drawing of a swastika. Will this continue after the war? Like I said, I hoped he'd be far away by then. I told Dad, and he said, ignore it. Not helpful. On to your other news. Gus and Joe? Very clever of Kathleen's dad. I wish Miss Simmons had thought of that same trick. Even though it's over, we had to write their names on the board and look at the map. I don't think we'll ever forget that. Dutch cities are being liberated, and the 1st U.S. Army has just entered Nazi Germany. When this war's over, where will you go? Jane asked Dora while taking clothes from the line. She smiled. Where every stranger wants to be, home. It's not over yet, though. Dora's hands flew as she unpinned a bedsheet. Germany's still holding on. Enid asked, we can phone our parents. Some still can't. She glanced at me. It's now the end of September. Dutch cities are still being freed, and an operation by the Allies to capture bridges in Germany failed. From your irritated sister, Leah. October the 9th. Dear Leah, the weather is turning chilly. On our walks, we try not to fall when our canes become stuck in leaf piles. When the wind blows a little stronger, we sometimes have to run. One Saturday, William told me about a battle in Aachen, Germany. It was short, just 2 weeks. The Germans defended the city, but the Americans tried to surround the city and fight their way to the center. Once there, both sides fought hard, and the Americans won. Of course, there were casualties on both sides. William hopes Hitler will think about surrendering. He also told me his family is safe. I didn't ask about ours. We both think we know the answer anyway. Then we stepped out of the room at the same time. There you are, Mother Anderson's voice rang out. Come with me, William. Go to the kitchen. Someone will speak with you shortly. And tell John to send Mrs. Davis to my room. But Mother Anderson, he began, it's not what you think. She didn't say anything more. She just marched down the hall and into her room, pulling me with her. Now, what was that conversation? Mother demanded, placing her hands on my shoulder. First, sit, she ordered, pushing me into a chair. I just sat there, unable to speak. She repeated the question. We were just talking, I finally managed. My mouth wouldn't work properly. My tongue felt stuck. How long have you been having these conversations? By the sound of it, it's been years, she said. I replied, yes, they had been going on for a long time. Did it occur to you that we might have allowed you two to talk if you had told us? She asked. No, I breathed a sigh. That's why I kept it a secret. William didn't tell me to. I just did. I see. Starting tonight, no more conversations with him in English or German, she said. Mother, how did you know about us meeting anyway? I asked. Lydia, Mother said. Then stood up and walked to the window. Something you left in a letter that was almost overlooked. I was confused. What letter? Lydia's sister wrote underneath part of a letter to your sister, then posted it, remember? I had to think for a minute. But I couldn't remember anything. Well, do you remember that letter? She repeated. I said no. Well, you wrote that if people knew about William, they'd say he was the enemy, correct? Suddenly, I remembered. Lydia's sister had written that. Yes, I replied softly. I do remember. Good. For now you'll stay in the dormitory after lessons until Mrs. Davis and I decide what to do. I sat silently. I could feel my heart beating. We heard a knock at the door, and I turned toward it. Who was that? Mother went to the door and stepped into the hall. I waited, but I couldn't hear anything. Only the ticking clock. She came back. Mrs. Davis is coming. You will wait here. I said nothing. Mother sighed. Who knew about this? She asked. No one, I answered, not looking at her. I hesitated. Will Leah be punished by her mother? I took a deep breath, then let it out. Except Leah? She knew. So that explains why William was the only one reading your letters. She wrote to you in German, am I right? Or did you teach her Braille secretly? I replied the letter was written in German. Who printed yours? Lydia's sister, John, Mrs. Blake, William, another parent, They never asked to read the rest. Another knock. It was Mrs. Davis. When she entered, she walked straight to me, her shoes tapping. "Mother Anderson, you may leave," she said. "Well, Missy, explain." She actually raised her voice. She seemed really tall just then. I explained to her how William and I began meeting, about your letters, and the discovered mistake in mine. When I finished, she was silent. She sat stiffly beside me. "I'm curious. How long were you going to keep that secret?" I said I didn't know. "Well, if it weren't for Lydia, you wouldn't be here, would you? You and William would still be talking," she asked. "Probably," I replied, not looking up. She raised my chin, so I had to face her. "Is talking all that happened?" "Yes," I answered. "He's never done anything else, never taken advantage of you?" When I replied he hadn't, I felt her body relax a little. "What will happen now? Will Leah's mom have to know?" I asked. "I don't know. First, Mother Anderson and I will speak to William and John without you. Now, let's go to your dormitory. And don't tell the others. Understand?" "Yes," I answered softly. We walked quickly, arriving just as everyone was returning from the washroom. "Good, you're here." Mother opened the door and pushed me in. "No talking, any of you. I'll join you in a minute."
"Esther, what happened? You missed dinner," Amy inquired.
"She said no talking," Mary interrupted. "So be quiet."
Mother returned, and we continued with our evening. Finally, this week's over. I had to be escorted everywhere by teachers. Hannah thought it was hilarious.
"Finally, the charity girl's in trouble," she taunted.
I'm relieved they still don't know the reason yet. William and John are still working here. That's a good thing. Has Mrs. Davis written to you? Back to news on the war. On the 23rd, the Japanese and the Americans fought in another battle as well. This time in the Gulf of Leyte. The Japanese are trying to stop the Americans from capturing an island in the Philippines. So far, a cruiser sank and Japanese planes were shot down. It's been 3 days and the Americans won. They had more powerful torpedoes. I'll feel horrible if you get punished for knowing about our meetings, too. You didn't know anything more. Your miserable sister, Esther. P.S. Mother Anderson will print my letters now. November 3. Dear Esther, what a horrible thing that happened to you and William. What made Edith remember that part of the letter?
I was right about our secret conversations. Yours were discovered. I don't blame Mother Anderson for being angry. At least he's still employed there. But for how long? War news now. More cities are freed by the Allies, and Mr. Roosevelt was elected for a fourth term. No need to worry. I haven't received a letter or a phone call regarding our letters. My part's still unknown to everyone. Anxiously waiting, Leah. December the 6th. Dear Leah, the first week of December, and if the Germans, British, and Americans hadn't started fighting in Belgium, everything would be all right. Many more girls will be going home for Christmas. And I overheard Mother Anderson telling John her news yesterday. She received a letter from her sister saying the family's well, but still nothing from her brother. Mrs. Porter and Miss Lee have a surprise for us this year. Mary has tried to get them to reveal it, but they won't. Speaking of surprises, yours should arrive soon. I just wish we could talk. It's been years. December the 10th, Mrs. Davis sent for me today with Mrs. Blake escorting me. She knocked. Enter, Mrs. Davis called. Sit, she commanded. I sat on a hard wooden chair and waited. It's about William. Did you know his real name? No? What do you mean? I looked toward her. Wilhelm. That's it. You're sure he never mentioned it? I replied that he hadn't. I knew his mother was German and his father was English, I said, and I waited, hands clenched in my lap. I'm German. What's the difference? We know your history. He deceived us. What? Tricked Esther. He gave us a false name, she answered. I felt sick. My stomach dropped. Why? He said using an English name would be better than his German one, especially now. It's Wilhelm. She took a breath. His English name, you know. Yes, but I was still shocked. A different name? Did he think he couldn't work here with a German name? I asked. Yes, Esther. As I explained, he needed an English name when he came here. So he chose William. He fooled us because he doesn't have an accent. I said nothing. Did he tell you anything about his parents? I told her what I knew. Well, you may go. Don't mention this to anyone. I promised I wouldn't. I couldn't sleep last night. I felt angry at William, or whatever his name is, for lying to us. At the same time, I understood why he did it. To be employed in England, he needed a new name. All day, I was distracted, still in shock. None of the other girls knew anything. They went on chatting about home and how soon the war would be over. It's been a month since William and my secret were discovered. And finally, the girls are talking. Mother Anderson says William's German. In Mrs. Davis's class, Amy said, "He had a false name, Esther. Is it true you and he have been meeting?" I was about to answer when Mrs. Davis told us to get back to work. "It's none of your business." "William's German, too?" Anna asked us at lunch. "Esther, you two talked?" I admitted we had. However, I refused to say what we talked about. Night. Another Christmas is over, and no tree again this year. Catherine, Amy, and Mary stayed in our dormitory. The older girls who stayed were Susan, Anna, and Julia. After breakfast and Bible reading, we played in the snow, making snowballs with slushy snow isn't very easy, but we tried anyway. Of course, the snowballs melted into slushy water. Our surprise was a turkey. "Where did you get that?" Miss Walters gasped. "I traded with the butcher," Miss Lee said. The pudding was a strawberry tort. Around the table, the conversation was about ending the war. "So my dad will come home." We didn't miss the king's message. This time, he began by wishing a happy Christmas to the doctors, nurses, and the men fighting overseas. He spoke about the loneliness of separation. He went on to say two things could end the war. First, defeat the Japanese and Germans. Then all people could be free. He ended his speech by wishing for peace next year. If the Allies continue like they have been, families can be reunited soon. This was a very long letter, but I had to tell you everything. Very confused, Esther. P.S. Here's something more cheerful. But it proved a snare to him, and his insolence was silenced. 1945, Thursday, January 7. Dear Esther, I'm very jealous of your Christmas dinner. Ours was ham, without gravy or pepper. Mom should know by now I can't eat that. But she served it anyway, saying, "No wasting, girls." I ate everything to show her I wasn't wasteful. Thank you for the pretty gloves. Mine are Jane's old ones that's worn through. Enid and Dora stayed with us again, so Christmas wasn't as gloomy as it could have been. They opened presents from home as well as from Mom and Dad. We didn't have presents because we went to the cinema a couple of weeks earlier as a Christmas treat. The film was a funny story about women hiding in a house in Germany. The comedy begins when British soldiers have to hide from the Nazis when their plane crashes. Of course, people fall in love. While watching, I thought about how different the war could be if it happened like that. We went out with friends the other day, having fun until Laurent told us some shocking news. He described a concentration camp called Auschwitz. He heard there were dead bodies everywhere because Nazis were murdering Jewish people and thousands of sick prisoners, too. He said that it was liberated by the Soviets. Thank God. I hate to think what other horrors will be discovered before this is all over. It makes me sick to think how that kind of evil has been happening all this time. How did we not hear about this? A German name, unbelievable. William could have deceived many people since his father was English. He surprised everybody, not in a good way. February the 11th now. Roosevelt, Stalin, and Churchill had a conference to discuss the ending of the war. They agreed that Germany shouldn't have a military, should have free elections in countries no longer under Nazi control, and talked about forming something called the United Nations. It's the 19th, and America's attacked the island of Iwo Jima, Japan. Dad said they don't want the Japanese to use it as an airfield. The 26th, after 6 more weeks of fighting, the Germans retreated from Belgium. The Americans have lost many soldiers, and some are missing. Finally, the U.S. bombed Berlin. Mom and Dad said I can stay with them as long as I need to after the war is over. That's very generous of them. I would have thought they wanted me to leave as soon as possible. It's a very windy march. The UK and US troops have crossed the Rhine River into Germany, and perhaps they won't fight for much longer. School was interesting last week. How long do we have to keep doing this assignment? Andrew complained toward the end of our history lesson. It's pointless. The war's nearly over. Not much longer, Andrew. This exercise isn't pointless. Like I said, writing about your experiences may help later. She won't read them. If she did, what could she do? He said, speaking of Princess Elizabeth. She'd know other children are going through similar experiences. She's doing plenty to help the war effort. She's a mechanic, repairing engines and learning to drive. She's still a lot safer than most people. Another boy spoke out. Enough. Let's get back to history, please. Miss looked sternly at us. For better or worse, we're all in this war together. The king didn't leave when the Blitz occurred, remember? Several kids nodded. The palace was hit, a girl added. I personally felt that my classmates had a point. No matter what Miss said, Princess Elizabeth would always be protected behind those walls. She might be a mechanic, but to me, that doesn't change who she is. The 26th, the fighting ended on Iwo Jima. America won, and as usual, there was death on both sides. 3 days of bombing in Dresden, 1 day in Berlin this month. More innocent people were killed. Depressing. Your sister, Leah.